What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Self-Helpless podcast. I'm Delaney Fisher.
And I'm Kelsey Cook.
And today we have a fabulous episode for you. But before we get into it, Kels, any announcements on your end?
Yes. So I will have just wrapped up my weekend in Vegas. I hope I got to meet some of you helpsters there. And then April 21st through the 23rd, I'm at Moon Tower in Austin. April 29th through the 30th, I'm in San Diego. And then May, I'm in Tampa, Bakersfield, Boston. And then I'm shooting my special in Denver. As you guys know, I've been talking about it. I will be at Comedy Works on June 18th. I will actually be there the 16th or the 18th, but the 18th is when I'm shooting the special. Delaney's going to be there. You can come see both of us. And I just couldn't be more excited. So get tickets at kelseycook.com. How about you, Del?
Oh, I can't wait. DelaneyFisher.com. You can find information about business simplicity coaching over there, and Efficionado, the podcast, which is the minimalist business podcast. We just talk about how to simplify your business to make more money and to have more time and just fucking enjoy your life. So come on over. We'd love to have you.
Can't think of a better plug.
There it is. So today's episode is fantastic. We have an amazing guest today. Lucrece Bundy is an adoption lawyer, and Lucrece noticed a huge gap in information available to her clients that ended up costing them significantly financially and emotionally. So she created an adoption education business where she's able to take people from, people who want to adopt a child all the way to helping them adopt one step by step with every process. Oh my gosh, this episode was incredible. I've had so many of these questions for years, and I feel like there's so much misinformation out there about how to adopt a child and what to expect. And this was like, this was just fabulous. And she really covers a lot of misconceptions specifically about adopting a child from foster care or adopting a newborn and like the certain trauma that we all think goes with that. Anyway, it was fantastic. Kels, anything else you want to add?
Oh, I just think that we really needed to cover this topic. I mentioned toward the end of the episode that we've been doing the podcast for 5 years and we had never really touched on this. And not only is there so much misinformation about adoption out there, but there's just so much information in general that I think people feel very overwhelmed and they don't even know where to start. And if you are interested in the adoption process at all, or even if you're not, you just want to know more about it, I feel like our interview with her is a really, concise, bite-sized way to get the info you need from a very reputable source.
Yeah. So thank you to our Patreon community for voting for this topic. I was super excited to see that it won because I was hoping that would be the one.
Yeah.
And, you know, Cam and I have talked about adoption as like the way that we would have a kid. And it's so nice to know where to go now that these resources and somebody like Lucrece exists where I know exactly where I would go to start this process and look into it. So anyway, here's Lucrece Bundy.
Enjoy, guys.
Lucrece, thank you so much for being here today. This is a topic that I've been looking forward to for a really long time.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for asking me to speak. I love talking about adoption. So really excited to be on here.
Amazing. So before we ask you a million questions, do you have a favorite or least favorite quote by chance?
I do. So one of my pillar quotes for starting my law office and doing adoptions mainly is Psalms 127 verse 3. And it says, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. So really wanting to change the perspective of a lot of families when it comes to children, because you hear mostly people think that children are a burden or they're too much or whatever. And so that's one of kind of my pillars that I stand on, that children are actually a gift and a reward from the Lord. And so that's the way we should see them.
So. Oh, that's so nice. Yeah. Totally makes sense for what you do. Yeah. That's really awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Shall we get into it?
Let's do it.
So to start off, what are some common misconceptions about the adoption process or just adopting a child in general?
Mm-hmm. So the thing with answering that question is that there are so many different types of adoptions that the misconceptions or, you know, those kind of questions really will depend on the type of adoption you're actually asking about. So the best way for me to answer that is to say, it depends on the type of adoption you're looking to do. Now, the most popular type of adoption right now, I would say, is either newborn adoption when a couple is trying to adopt a newborn baby, or foster care adoption. So I can start with foster care adoption, where you're adopting someone, you know, a child from foster care. One of the biggest misconceptions with foster care adoption, a lot of people believe that these kids are kind of too broken for them to adopt them, or they're too traumatized for us to adopt them. And so a lot of families actually look to adopting newborn children because they just think that they're not going to have to deal with their trauma. That's a huge misconception, because even babies who are adopting from right out of the womb still carry trauma. But there's a lot of studies that show that adoption, whether you're newborn or 15 years old, still creates trauma in the brain of the child. So I would say that's probably the number one biggest misconception that I see when families are looking to adopt. They're thinking, oh, let's do a newborn because they won't be as traumatized as the older child.
Oh, wow. I never thought of it like that, but you're so right. If you're taking a baby away from their biological mother, I'm sure at any age, especially those very, very young developing ages, that is going to impact them, of course.
Wow. Yeah.
So I usually encourage folks, like, really the best way to move forward is just get educated about trauma in general and be open to adopting older children, because whichever age you adopt, you're going to have to deal with it, versus going in with the mindset of, I have to have a newborn so I don't have to deal with the trauma. Like, you're going to deal with it anyway, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. And you know, even if somebody's having a biological child, there's going to be probably trauma at some point. Somebody says something mean to them at school or something like that. It's like, that's just kind of part of life. And
everyone comes with their own stuff. Yeah. Biological or not. So absolutely. You're completely right, Delaney.
Yeah. And if somebody wants to adopt, what is their very first step to take?
So again, that depends on the type of adoption, because there are so many. So I covered newborn adoption and foster care very briefly, but there's also international adoption for those who are looking to adopt, obviously, outside of the country. The first step that I tell people is they need to understand the pros and cons of all of their options. A lot of times, the helpful adoptive parents that I work with on a daily basis, what happens is they go on social media or Google, you know, stuff like we all do, and they get all this information, and then they just kind of go with what, you know, what they research, and then they end up wasting a ton of money and a ton of time, and then they still are not adopting. So my number one advice is you need to understand the pros and cons of all of your adoption options first. Understand what international adoption means and what that's going to mean for you, pros and cons of that, newborn adoption, foster care adoption, and then decide which path you want to go, because whichever path you decide, it's literally like going three like opposite directions, whether you do newborn, foster care, or international. And so you want to know for sure which path you want to take, because once you take that road, you're committed. You're spending money, you're working with professionals, all that kind of thing. But what most people do is they think, okay, I'm going to adopt a child, go on Facebook groups, like be a part of all these Facebook groups, you know, go on Instagram, whatever. And I'm going to just do my home study because that's what people tell them to do. And that's actually the number one mistake that people make, is just deciding to adopt and then getting their home study done. So my thing is with people is you need to like just shove your home study down the drain for just a little bit, like put it on the side and really do your research and get educated about the pros and cons. And then, you know, like I said, commit to one. And then once you get on that path, have a guide help you get through so that you can actually adapt successfully.
Can you explain what a home study is?
Yeah. So the home study is basically a report that a caseworker does on your family to basically let the judge know that you are a fit family to adopt. And they're looking for things like if you're a felon or if you've abused children or if you don't have enough money to take care of a child or if your home is unsafe. So the report is really like they meet with you and your family, they do visits in your home, they go through your cupboards, like they make sure everything looks safe. And then they look at your household income. They ask you all kinds of questions from like the time you were born until now, like like your life is exposed. And the point of that is just to make sure that if we're letting you bring a kid into your home, we're not going to have to take this kid out of your home again, because now you're abusing them, right? Or you're this crazy person that's going to just bring more misery to that child. And so every single person who wants to adopt has to go through the home study process. It's just not the first thing that you should do when you're starting out.
Yeah. Boy, I bet a lot of comedians can't adopt because the things that are online about
things that are around that home. My God.
Yeah.
Bombs are the furniture. And that.
Yeah.
I have a question. Yeah. So my husband and I, we've talked a lot about this as the only way that we would probably ever become parents is if we adopt a child. But we always hear like, it's really expensive. It takes so long. You're going to be waiting for years. But hearing you say that, it just depends on what kind of adoption you're going for. Is there a certain type of adoption that isn't as expensive or does not take as long?
Mm-hmm. Well, so those are actually two different questions.
Okay.
So there are adoptions that they're just known to be the least expensive way to adopt. So that's foster care adoption. Adopting from foster care is the least expensive way wherever you're in the United States to adopt, just because the state covers a lot of your expenses. The more expensive way to adopt is through international, just because you're dealing with another country. So it's just a lot more paperwork, all that kind of thing. International adoption also takes longer because you're dealing with another country and you have to get paperwork approved here and there, travel back and forth. So it's just because of the time and the work that it takes to go through the countries and all the paperwork, it just happens to be more expensive. And I would say kind of in the middle would be newborn adoption or adopting here in the United States.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
So the length of time honestly really depends on how well you know how to go through the process. So I help my clients actually go through the process and adopt within a year, because what happens is a lot of people get stuck because they don't know how to navigate through the process successfully. So honestly, like there's no reason why anyone shouldn't be able to adapt within a year if you just follow the process like you're supposed to. Where people get stuck is social media and researching, because there's so much information out there and like, do this, this is what I did, this is how I adopted, that people get stuck on somebody's story and they think that's what they need to do to adopt. but that may not be the best fit for their family. So it really is like a case by case, what works with your family type of thing. And when you have the right guide going through the process, there's no reason why you shouldn't adapt within a year. And if you know how to navigate through it, I should add that, you know, how to not get scammed, you know, how to not give your money to these professionals. And then 6 months later, you know, you still are not making any progress, that kind of thing.
Gosh, I didn't even think about that. Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah, it is horrible. And a lot of, unfortunately, adoption has become a business, which I hope there is a way that we can turn that around, because a lot of the professionals out there are actually crooks. And actually, I'm so grateful because the United States has been kind of horny down on a lot of them. And I'm hoping that we can somehow have some type of accountability for adoption professionals who are taking money from parents so they can actually show, like, where is this money going? There was recently, was it a year ago? There was this big, big adoption agency that just got like totally slammed because they were doing so many unethical things. They were taking people's money and not really showing their profiles. I mean, it's really become a business for people because they care more about the profits they're getting from people than actually helping you connect with a mom and adopt like the way that they're supposed to. So because of that, people are obviously afraid of, oh my gosh, if I give my money to this person, how do I know for sure they're going to help me? But there are still people out there who are honest and who are have integrity and who are trying to help parents. You just have to know how to navigate through and find the right people to help you.
Oh, wow. I'm learning so many things.
I'm like, we can talk about this all day.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. And that makes sense that, I mean, unfortunately, it probably is a big place for people to get scammed because people have never been in that process before. So they don't know. It's their first time going through it and they might not know what to be looking out for. So that is super unfortunate. Can you share some tips or steps that people can implement that help both parents and kids acclimate during the adoption transition?
Yeah. So you mean like after a child has come, like the child has come home to them? Yeah. I mean, there are so many resources. There are parent support groups. I don't know if every state has it, but in a lot of the states, you'll find like even virtual meetings where adoptive parents will just get together and chat together and support each other. So you can just see if you can be a part of that in your own state. But the state also offers a lot of resources for adoptive parents. So there's a ton of things online. One of the things that I always advise people to do, even if you think that you're going to have any issues with your child when you adopt them, is just to have a therapist that is really trained with adoption. I'm like, just have them as a standby so that way if something happens, you have someone who's trained that you can, because you, believe it or not, you as the adoptive parent actually need therapy sometimes more than the child you adopt, because a lot of time the adoptive parents don't think through the process of first, infertility, we can have babies. And then we have to go through this entire process to have this child in your home that we love. And now we have to deal with the trauma. There's so much that you're dealing with that having a therapist here to talk to is actually one of the things that my clients have raved about. Like, I'm so glad we did it and that we got a therapist. So that's actually the number one resource I would recommend. And then support groups as well, so that you can meet other parents who are going through the same thing. So you know that you're not alone.
Nice.
Yes.
Betterhelp.com/selfhelpless, baby.
There you go. Perfect.
Yeah, therapy.
So let's say that a couple is applying to adopt a child and a single person. Do the agencies sway towards the couple? Like, does a single person still have a good chance of getting to be able to adopt a child?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So it's a hard question to answer because there's been a movement over the past couple of years where agencies are doing a lot better at basically treating single people the same as married people. Really, the trouble is with the birth moms. It's not really trouble. The agencies can't really do anything about your marital status. The birth mom is the one saying, I want my baby to be with a married couple. Mm. So depending on what the birth moms are asking for, the agencies usually will try to get in people who are fitting the birth mom's descriptions and what they're looking for. So really, you being married or not married has nothing to do with whether an agency wants to work with you. It's really, they're trying to cater to the birth moms that are coming to them and saying, this is what we're looking for in an adoptive family. And if none of them are looking for a single person, why would an agency, right, like use their resources to help that single parent? So with that being said, there are agencies who do cater specifically to single families because they understand that it is a little bit harder for single people to adopt. But the crazy thing is that more single parents actually adopt from foster care than married people. So it's kind of like this really interesting, like when you do the research and you see the facts, it's very interesting. Lots of single people adopt from foster care, but sometimes they have more trouble with their newborn, but it's because of what I just described. It's not really the agencies, it's the birth mom's choices.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. Wow. Mm-hmm.
But single people can marry, or I'm sorry, single people can adopt. I mean, even for international adoption, there are specific countries that will tell you, like, we welcome married couples, single people. They usually have an age limit, but single people can adopt internationally. They can adopt from foster care. They can adopt a newborn. So the newborn thing specifically is what it's a little more difficult to navigate for single people than foster care and international.
Got it.
This is so good to
Do people who you see who want to adopt generally have known they've wanted to adopt for a long time, or is it something that they realized later in life?
I see both. A lot of people who want to adopt a newborn, from my experience, it's because they're coming from infertility. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them want to adopt a newborn because they want to experience the newborn stage because they never had a chance to. Yeah. Most people that I see who are open to adopting an older child is because they already have biological children. So they don't feel the need, you know, to experience the newborn stage. So they're usually more open to like international adoption, foster care, because they just want to add it to their family. They're like, we had five boys, we want a girl, you know, type thing.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. But a lot of people that are adopting newborns are usually, I would say 90% coming from infertility. It's very rare to see a family who already has biological children looking to adopt a newborn. They're out there, but they're just really, really rare.
Got it. Okay.
Your YouTube channel is amazing, by the way. I saw so many awesome topics. And one that really caught my eye is, can you share some of the challenges that people experience with a transracial adoption and what people can experience? Do we have five hours?
Oh man. Transracial, like it's a topic that I beat over the head all the time because people need to understand. So the thing with, I don't know why transracial adoption has turned into a black-white thing, because it's really not a black-white thing. It's basically just, if you're one color and you're adopting another color, this is what you should know. But it's somehow turned into like a black-white thing. Anyways, it's like there's a whole history behind it. But really the idea is that there's been research that has shown that children who are adopted into a family that doesn't look like them, they actually have a much harder time knowing who they are. Like when they get to that teenager stage, you know, when you're trying to figure out like, who am I and where am I from? Not only are they adopted, so you have that additional thing, but when they don't look like you, they have a much harder time really understanding who they are and where they come from. So children who were brought up in a home where they didn't look like the other parents, where the parents really helped them understand their identity and made sure that they were around people that look like them, fare much better than their counterparts. And so really the education, a lot of agencies are actually doing this now. A lot of professionals are teaching adoptive parents. You cannot overlook the fact that your child doesn't look like you. So if you're white American, you adopt an Asian, I mean, and you can look on YouTube. There are so many adopted kids who talk about that, their experience growing up with parents that don't look like them. And they talk about the parents who did really help them understand their culture, how much better they felt and how much better they did. And those who did not get that experience, just how much they just had a really hard time. I mean, I interviewed Isaac Etter. I don't know if you saw that on my YouTube video, but he was a Black kid adopted by a white family, and they never really helped him understand his background. He ended up leaving the house and like shunning his parents when he became a teenager because he was like, you guys, like they did nothing to help him. Like he never saw another Black person in his whole life. I think he said he saw one Black woman in all of his years of living at home with his parents. So he was so culturally shocked when he moved to Georgia or something to try to find himself. And he was so culturally shocked because there's so many Black people around him. He's like, wait a minute. And just even like looking in the mirror and realizing I am Black because all he saw all day was white. So there's just a ton of stories. But again, really the idea is if you're going to adopt a kid who doesn't look like you, be prepared to make the effort to make sure that their race and their culture is being kept alive in your home, right? Don't just keep them away from people who look like them, because that's part of who they are, you know? So that's, I mean, the conversation can go on for a long time, but I would say really it's a plea. Even the adaptive kids will tell you, like, please, just keep us in our culture. Like, we just want to be around people that look like us. We just want to know who we are. And we know we're adapted and that's fine, but don't keep us away from our race and our culture. You know?
Wow.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
How often does adoption not work out for someone after they've brought a child home?
Well, I like to be on the side of like helping people be prepared enough so that never happens. But unfortunately, that does happen. I know there's a Facebook group called Rehoming Children, which is horrifying. I've thought about like going on there and like making comments, but I'm like, I shouldn't. It's just not polite. But anyway, they are families who adopt children and then decide like, you know, we're not really bonding with them. And so let's just put them back up for adoption. So there is such a thing, and people do that. There's like this really famous lady on YouTube. I can't remember her name right now. And she did that. And she got so much flack for it that like she lost her sponsorships opportunities. Her YouTube went down the drain because people were outraged that she would adopt this kid and then just like throw him away, basically. So there's a trend about Instagram celebrities, not all of them, you know, some of them are legit, some of them adopting kids just because of the views they get. Because for whatever reason on YouTube, when you go on YouTube and Instagram, a lot of these like famous social media people, they're adapting because the stories that people are looking for when they're searching on YouTube is like the like cool adoption story, my success adoption story, whatever. So people are like doing these logs or vlogs of how they adopted their kid and brought them home. And it's just generating so many views and they're making so much money and whatever. Well, so this one particular lady did that. She adopted this kid from South Korea or something, brought him home. He had like a whole bunch of like medical issues, which they always tell you all these things before you adopt. Like you don't just adopt a kid and then find out that they have medical issues. Anyway, they adopted the kid and like 9 months later, she was like, oh my gosh, we had to let him go because we just couldn't bond with him or whatever. He had too many medical issues. And literally like the whole YouTube community like rained down like fury on her. So my point is people do that, but don't do that. Like if you're going to adopt, be committed to the kid, and just like you would for your own biological kid, because you don't just throw away your bio kid because they're giving you headaches when they turn teenagers, right? So I know that people do it. I just don't really like talking about it because I'm like, that is horrifying. Why would anybody do that? Yeah. But it happens, unfortunately. Yeah.
Is there anything else you would like to share about the adoption process or the way that you feel about your work or anything like that?
Yeah, sure. Well, my passion is really to help children in need be placed in safe and loving families. And part of doing that is equipping families to understand the good, the bad, and the ugly of adoption. Because the thing is that adoption is so beautiful, like being able to open your home and bring a kid in and then just love them like your own. That is an incredible gift that you can give to a child. But at the same time, you have to be equipped and understand the challenges that come with that, right? You have to think about your own biological kids and all that kind of thing. So there are just so many barriers to it right now. I don't really understand why, especially with foster care adoption. There are over 100,000 kids in foster care right now just waiting for families to adopt them. But like I said, most families want to adopt a newborn instead. So these kids are just sitting in foster care, just waiting for families to adopt them. And again, like I said, that misconception of like trauma, they're more traumatized than the newborns, is one of the reasons why there's such a huge gap. But really, my passion is just to see as many kids as possible be placed in homes, because that's what they were meant to be in families. And so I love equipping families to understand, you know, just what it's about, what they're getting themselves into, so that when they do adopt, it's a smooth process for everyone. And the child can actually have stability, you know, versus getting plucked out again and then having to try to adjust to another home and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean, I guess that's what I would add.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have a question. Oh, Kels, you have one?
Oh, no, I was just saying, oh, that's, yeah.
I'm so curious about siblings. Let's say that somebody's adopting a child, but they have a biological child or two, or vice versa. They adopt first and then somebody gets pregnant and they have a biological child. Do you have any information around that dynamic and what can help everybody in that situation? Because I'd imagine there's some, you know, complicated feelings that come up for the kids and the parents, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, believe it or not, children are actually way, like they adapt to adopted children way easier than the parents do. Because really? Children, yeah, children are just like my brother and sister, they're just living with me. And so you'll find that a lot of parents who have biological kids who end up adapting, the kids usually don't have issues, at least from the research I've done and the people that I've talked to. The children are really never the issue. It's the transition for the family as a whole that's more of the issue. So some people decide that if they have biological kids, they want to adopt kids that are younger than their youngest biological children. I mean, a lot of people would tell you that that's probably a good idea, just so that your children are influencing the ones who've adopted. Some families have younger kids, have adopted older kids out of foster care, and they're doing just fine. So at the end of the day, it's really about your own family's dynamics and what you guys think you can handle or not. So if you're like, okay, our kids are 10 and under, and we really want to adopt a teenager, and we're going to just go for that, go for it. If you feel like your family can handle it. But if you're like, eh, we want a kid who's younger than our youngest, then go for that. So that's really a matter of preference. And when it comes to the blending, you'll have so many resources on how to navigate through, but most families just talk to their biological kids. Like, for example, my husband and I, we were getting our license to be foster parents, and we had to sit our kids down and be like, okay, you're like, what's foster care? And like, try to explain to them in terms that they would understand, you know, the kids, their families are not doing well. They just need to stay here for a little bit until their parents feel better. What'd you guys say? They're like, sure, they can come and live with us. We'll be their brother and sister. Like, kids are so forgiving and loving and open. Honestly, I think it's really us as adults, like it's harder for us to just get through that mental block of like, okay, it's not my kid, but they're in my home and I have to take care of them, you know? But from my experience, kids are just like, sure, let's bring another one in. Sounds good. Another brother and sister. So we did respite care for three foster girls. What was it, like 3 weeks ago? And our boys were so excited because they were all their age. We have 10, 7, and 5. And the girls were also 10, 7, and 5. They had a blast. I mean, they just loved it. They were playing outside and they had no problems. But we were like, oh my gosh, there's 6 or 3 girls.
That's a full house right there.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're like, we're never doing that again. We're going to do one at a time next time.
Oh my gosh. Is, let's say that there's some people right now, they're considering, they know that they want to have a child biologically, and they also know that they want to adopt a child. Do you have in your kind of expert opinion, is there a certain order that seems to be a better way to go, like to adopt first and then to have a biological child or vice versa? Or does it really not matter?
I don't think it matters. I think it just depends on what you decide to do. I have some families right now who are, you know, they found out that they couldn't have a child. So now they're trying IVF, which is really popular. A lot of people want to try that because it seems like the path of least resistance, right? Like, well, if we can't like biologically, like, you know, have our children, let's try another way that we can still do it and have our own biological. So people just gradually navigate towards another option to help us have our biological children, which makes sense. So, but some people do that. And then if they see that the tests are not working or whatever, I don't even know what you all do for IVF, but when they're realizing that, okay, this may not come true, then they start looking into adoption as a secondary path as they're still doing their IVF things. So it just depends on the family. Some of them want to wait till they're completely done with IVF. They want to know for sure we cannot have biological children no matter how hard we try. And then they're going to look at adoption as a last resort. I don't always recommend that, but because I just think adoption, you should just adopt anyway, whether you want to have biological kids or not, because they're kids that need homes, you know? But it's really up to the families. You know, I mean, you can't really tell people when to have biological kids and when to adopt, you know? It's really a matter of their preference.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. I just answered all the questions that have been like burning in my head for years. Kels, do you have any?
Yeah. It's so nice to do a full episode on this because we're coming up on 5 years of doing the show and we've never done a dedicated episode to it. And I feel like it's something that people want to know more about and don't really know where to turn for information. So thank you so much for being an expert and coming on and talking about it.
Yes. And where can people find you and your work and your services and all that good stuff?
Yeah. So I am on Facebook. I have a Facebook group with tons of families where we just talk about, you know, support resources, you know, just kind of help them out. I have a YouTube channel, like you talked about before, where I try to just give people a lot of tips on how to adapt successfully and really try to weed through that confusion with people and dispel as much of the confusion as possible. So people can actually see like, oh, we can do this. It is easy. It's not as complicated as, you know, research makes it seem. So yeah, Facebook and social media, you can find me that way. Say hello. I'd love to say hi back. But they can also contact me through my website, adoptionsimplify.com. And yeah.
Amazing. Awesome. Oh, thank you so much. This was fabulous, Lucrece. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great
to meet
you.
Thank you guys for having me on. Yeah, nice to meet you guys too.
Of course. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. So, like Lucrece said, if you want to reach out to her, she sounds like she just could not be more of a sweetheart and more open to helping answer more questions if you guys have anything specific that we didn't cover in the episode.
Yes. And her information is also linked in the episode description. So any links to like her work and all that stuff. I think I also saw that she has like a course on her website for people who are considering adoption. So you can take her course to see if you are a fit or if you're maybe not a fit, which is fantastic. Just so helpful. Yes, we do have an iTunes review of the episode. Kels, would you like to share this review?
We do. It is from Rhonda 1983. Insanely relatable. I just discovered this podcast and I absolutely love it. It's super relatable. Great insights to life with a side of humor. Thank you for being in the podcast world. Oh, Rhonda. Oh,
thanks, Rhonda.
Thank Sweet, so gentle Rhonda. Hugging you through the podcast. Thank you. Thank you for leaving that. Yeah. I know that you have a segment.
Oh my God. I do.
And I want, we got to let the people know.
Okay. Speaking of adoption, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, Cam and I have our son Maverick and we've had him for over 3 years now. And I've secretly wanted another dog for probably about a year. And I just joke about it. Cause like Cam and I would never actively seek getting another dog because, you know, it's a lot of work and all that stuff. Sure. But I said, but Cam, if one like literally shows up on our doorstep or like in our space somehow, like a friend of a friend has a puppy that needs a, you know, a home, we probably have to take him in, you know, we have to consider it. And so that's exactly what happened. One of my parents was at a dog park and somebody showed up with a puppy and just said, this puppy doesn't have a home and I'm hoping somebody here can like take it basically. And they dropped it off at a dog park versus like a pound or shelter because they figured, well, dog parks got dog lovers. So my stepdad took it, took him home with them temporarily. And then my mom texted me a picture and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm on my way.
And like could not be cuter and looks exactly like he would be related to Maverick somehow.
Looks like Maverick's brother. He's the cutest little thing. He's like 2.5 pounds. We don't really know much about him quite yet. And of course we named him Goose. So now we have Maverick and Goose. Any Top Gun fans?
Can we see him?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Should I bring him up here?
Yes. That's what I mean.
Oh my God. YouTube. Just hold on a second. Let me.
Okay. Because I've been like excited for podcasting today so I can actually see him on video.
He's so cute and tiny. It's unreal. I am just in love. One second.
Okay. And man, I don't know if there's ever been a better promo to get you to go look on YouTube, listeners, but
All my boys are coming in right now. I'm outnumbered in this house now. There's so much testosterone.
Oh, hi, little muffin.
It's my little man.
Oh, my and God. Maverick and
so great. Come here, bud. You can come up here. So I am now a mother of two. And here's my other little guy. They look like.
Hi, Mav. Hi, but hold them a little higher or tilt your camera down.
He looks just like Maverick did as a pup. And I mean, you see this guy and you're like, well, of course he's my son. I mean, what else?
Of course, there's no option.
I got to be honest, we haven't even talked to the property manager yet.
Oh, if there's no,
but I'd be like, say no to him. He's my son, I will pay you more money. So let's figure it out. But yeah, so we have two dogs now. You know, the timing is a bit stressful. I mean, we have our wedding soon.
Yeah. You
know, things are busy work-wise for us. Cam's going like back to the lot. Like there's a lot going on, but I was just like, we have to make this work because I mean,
hello? Oh, can you put him closer to camera? Yeah. I want to see his face more. Hi, little muffin. Hi.
All over my keyboard. Here's a little like white chin.
He's got
a little white beard.
Gosh, hi. He is so teeny tiny.
He's so small and he's so funny. Like he's full of personality. I am a crazy dog person. It's just, I like it. You know, it really suits me.
Come here, bud.
And we have so many extra bow ties because that's what Maverick wears. So I'm like, oh my God, we have the wardrobe for it.
That's always, you know, the number one question you have to ask yourself when you're contemplating.
Do we have enough bow ties to have?
Do we have? What's the bow tie budget? What are
oh
we?
Oh my God. So yeah, that's my pup date, if you will. And
gross. I'm logging off.
He has to know that his mom likes dad jokes.
My God.
I've just rescheduled a lot of appointments and taken time off because I'm like, I just need to hold my pup.
Yeah, you guys need to go look on YouTube real quick. Because Delaney doesn't have Instagram anymore. So if you want to see this puppy,
you know,
check
what?
It out on YouTube.
I'll post them on the Patreon. I'll have Humaira post them on the Patreon.
Oh, that's smart. Okay.
So Patreon coming at you. That's my there version of Instagram. You get a Patreon picture once a year for me.
That's a good way to do it.
What do you got?
You guys, I don't really have a particular segment. I am so tired. I am just, I've mentioned before that March is kind of my hell month in terms of travel. You know what? I do have a fucking segment. Oh. I can't believe I was going to forget about this. This is how crazy things have been lately. So, if you were a helpster and you tried to come to the show in Syracuse last weekend, for those of you listening currently, obviously that was like, now over a month ago, but in real time it happened last weekend. So the shows were at the Syracuse Funny Bone, which is in a mall, and the show was about to start. My feature Tommy was about to walk on stage, and a voice came over the sound system and said, "Everybody please stand up, the mall is being evacuated immediately." Tommy and I we walked back into the green room to grab our coats and bags. And then the manager came over and said, just hang tight for a second so we can try and get more information. And then another club employee came over to us a couple minutes later and said, so we need you guys to just, you have to stay in this room because this is the safest place for you to be right now. And I just went cold. I mean, it's such a chilling thing to hear that. And then a couple minutes later, we found out that there was, they told us there was an active shooter in the mall. And when you hear those words, especially when you're in a mall, your brain kind of goes to mass shooting, you know, and, I broke down. I was crying in the green room. It was really fucking scary. And, Tommy and I stayed in there for, I don't know how long. Maybe an hour is too long, 45 minutes, something like that. But the club manager is like, well, let's wait here in the green room because otherwise we're just going to be sitting in like the gridlock of the parking garage. And then that's not super safe either to just be sitting there like a target or whatever. Right. And Yeah, I feel Tommy and I, we were talking about the next day after it happened that we both feel like we kind of just like disassociated when we were in the green room. We just put on the TV. We tried to distract ourselves because we were just, you like kind of don't feel like you're in your body. It's such a scary position to be in. And we found out once we were leaving the mall that it wasn't a mass shooting. Obviously, you guys would have heard about that on the news, but it was like an altercation between two people. But where they fired shots, it ended up blowing out all the glass of the DSW storefront. And that is exactly where Tommy and I were standing 30 minutes earlier, which is just so insane. That mall is huge. And that's like right where he and I were, because we were walking around the mall before the show started. And we like looked into things further, and everybody online that lives in Syracuse is like, oh, that mall is the most dangerous place in Syracuse. There has been a shooting at least once a month in that mall for the last like 3 months. It's just very, very dangerous. And it was terrifying. So that sucked. I'm sorry for any helpsters that were at the show that didn't get to actually, you know, see the show. I'm happy that we're all safe. And then it took me 14 hours to fly home the next day because my flight got canceled, or didn't get canceled, but it got delayed like 5 different times. And anyway, if I was low energy this episode, I apologize. I'm just kind of in survival mode right now of trying to just get through a day at a time because I'm pretty wiped.
Yeah, so scary. I mean, already you have a busy schedule, and then something traumatic like that. I mean,
yeah, that's what's hard about
draining.
A tour schedule this intense is already so much on your body, but it really doesn't leave any room for anything to go wrong, because if something goes wrong, you don't have time to recover. Like, it took me 14 hours to fly home, and then I was home for 48 hours before I woke up at 4 a.m. to fly to Minneapolis.
Oh my God.
So, I'm going to go back to sleep now, hopefully for another hour or two before the couple shows tonight. But for those of you that are Minneapolis helpsters and are listening right now, I've been having such a blast at Acme Comedy Club. Thank you guys so much for coming out. I've been loving meeting you. You've been the sweetest. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, I speak for everybody. I'm glad you're okay. We're glad
Thanks.
You're okay. So sorry. Such a traumatic experience. I hope anybody, whoever was involved, are okay as well, you know.
Yeah.
But geez. So scary.
Yeah, bad. Oh, there's a yawn. Sorry. But yeah, go see me on tour. What a time to plug tour dates.
What a plug.
KelseyCook.com for tickets, and go listen to Aficionado. And we will talk to you guys next week.
And Goose says goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, Goose. Ooh, hi, little munchkin.
God. Oh,
obsessed with him.
Stay tuned for the Patreon pics.
Yes. All right. Have a good one, guys. Bye.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening to the Self Helpless podcast. You can find our Patreon community, merch, and our individual work at selfhelplesspodcast.com. We'd be thrilled if you shared this episode with a friend, or feel free to post it on Instagram and tag @selfhelplesspodcast so we can repost you and say thank you. Yeah.